Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 99702 pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of John, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, the Anointing One, we pray. Shalom, shalom. Amen. Well, praise God. We're going to continue our teaching on the subject, God wants you to be successful. Once again, God wants you to be successful. So if you have your Bibles, please open them up to two verses. The first one is in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 9. And the second one is in 3 John 2. Again, Galatians, chapter 6, verse 9, and 3 John 2. And we're going to read our verses we have been using as our foundational scripture for this teaching on God wants you to be successful. And I'm going to be reading Galatians 6, 9 from the Holy Spirit Encounter Bible and John 3, 2 from the New King James Version. So Galatians 6, 9, it says, "So don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get discouraged and give up. For we will reap a harvest of blessings at the appropriate time." Now, 3 John 2, it says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. When God created man, it was always his plan for his creation to prosper in all things, not some of the things, in all things. After God created man in his image and likeness, he blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply." That is success. See, God takes pleasure in the success of his servants. Please go to the book of Psalm 35. Once again, that's Psalm 35, verse 27. And it says, "Let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants." God not only wants his children to be successful, but he takes pleasure in the prosperity and success of his children. Now, there are principles God has provided for the church that will work for all Christians, even though these principles are primarily for those who have been called to the ministry to teach and preach the full gospel of God, but they will work for any Christian if applied correctly. Amen. As I have expressed before, there are too many Christians that are living below their standard of life God has provided for them, and they seem to be content with that second-rate mentality. That mentality is doing and living what everybody else is doing. But God did not create you to do as everyone else. Each one of us is unique, and there is no one like you. You are the only original of you. So your success depends on you doing what God has created you to do and being obedient to his word. Your success or failure depends on you. But we have an adversary, the devil, that will use all his power to keep you from being successful in your life. Please turn to the book of John, chapter 10. Again, John, chapter 10, verse 10. And again, I will be reading from the Holy Spirit Encounter Bible. And it says, "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy." We're going to stop there. It says, "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy." So our adversary, Satan, the devil, his only purpose is to see to it that you do not succeed in your life. Because when you succeed, you are a threat to his work and his world. And you are an asset for the kingdom of God. Good success or bad success depends on you. Amen. Good success or bad success depends on you. The Message Bible says it this way. Please turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. Again, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, from the Message Bible. And it says, "And don't for a moment let this book of Revelation be out of your mind. Ponder and meditate on it day and night, making sure you practice everything written in it. Then you'll get where you are going. Then you'll succeed." Amen. So it says that we need to ponder and meditate on it day and night. Day and night. And practice everything that is written in it. See, your success depends on you. You also have to understand that all your understanding of faith and acting on faith is crucial to your success. Because the scripture tells us, for we walk by faith and not by sight. See, I began teaching this teaching by revealing I will be introducing 10 practical suggestions for a successful ministry and Christian lifestyle. And we have discussed 6 of them so far. So let's do a quick review before we continue our teaching. So suggestion number 1 was, we must live a disciplined life. Again, suggestion number 1, we must live a disciplined life. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, all these scriptures are going to be read from the Holy Spirit Encounter Bible. 1 Corinthians 9, verse number 27. And it says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training to do what is should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. See, no one can be successful in the things of God if they are undisciplined. No one. Because the scripture tells us our God is a God of order. He's not the author of confusion. If you cannot discipline your body, you will not be able to discipline your spirit. It's just that simple. Now, I also gave you the 5 C's, ABC, for effective discipline. And they were clarity, consistency, communication, compassion, and consequences. Once again, the 5 C's for an effective discipline were clarity, consistency, communication, compassion, and consequences. Suggestion number 2 was, the Word of God must have first place in your life. Once again, the Word of God must have first place in your life. Please turn to Matthew chapter 6. Again, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And it says, and he will give you all the need from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. So the kingdom of God should be our primary concern. See, God's righteous rule should be your first desire on this earth. Amen. This can be accomplished by the church being on one accord, one mind, and one spirit, seeing or seeking him first. Not seeking him only, but seeking him first. Remember, our Father is a jealous God, and he doesn't want us to worship anyone else in the spirit of holiness except him. The third suggestion was prayer. The third suggestion was prayer. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Again, Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read verse 18. And it says, pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. So we are to continue to pray and be persistent in our prayer and stay alert. Or in other words, watch and pray. See, Christians should maintain a prayerful prayer line. Amen. The failure to pray is a failure for defeat. You know, you should prepare for war in a time of peace. So when the fiery darts come from the wicked one, and they are going to come, it's just a matter of time. You will be prayed up to handle any situation or any thought, ideas, or suggestions that he might want to throw at you. You have your prayer shield up, and you'll be ready to deal with him. Amen? The fourth suggestion was exercise. The fourth suggestion was exercise. Please turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to read verse 8. And it says, physical exercise has some value, but spiritual exercise is much more important, for it promises a reward for both this life and the next. Amen. Now, notice it said that physical exercise has some value for our bodies, these earthen vessels. If you are out of shape or physically hooked up to a medical apparatus, a breathing machine or something, then God is limited because of your limitations. So it is important that you keep your physical body in shape and do the physical exercises that bring that value to your body. Amen. The fifth suggestion was to be an example. The fifth suggestion was to be an example. See, God has to have examples for the people he has placed in your care as a minister. Many people will not understand your motives and will criticize you for your stand on Christ, but the vision was not given to them. That's why they don't understand it, but it was given to you. So you have to be that example for Christ. Learn to accept what people say about you is irrelevant and immaterial. The only thing that matters is what God thinks about you. You just make sure what they say isn't true. Amen. Just make sure it's not true. They can talk all they want, because it's just idle talk. You are who you are because of what God says about you. So continue to be that example for Christ. The only thing you want to hear from God is, well done, good and faithful servant. Now go with me to the Bible too. Before we go there, let's say now the sixth suggestion was to endure persecution and criticism. Endure persecution and criticism. Now go with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. Again, that's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. And it says, but it is not shame to suffer being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his wonderful name. Now go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 right quick. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. And it says this. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So everyone, if you want to live a life in Christ Jesus, will suffer persecution. Now that word suffer means to contend with or to put up with. It does not mean that you are going to go through something physically painful. It's kind of like, you know, you're at a family picnic and you know how a fly or ants keep flying around and crawling around maybe on some of the food and just ignoring you or annoying you because you're trying to enjoy the family at the picnic. Well, that's the way this suffer means. And so you contend with it, you put up with it, but you just swat it out the way. It doesn't bother you. It's the same way with persecution, and it will come in the form of criticism. People will start talking about you, saying all kinds of things about you that are not true. The wicked one will attempt to work through people to stop your witness and your testimony. See, your victory will be your ability to stand against the persecution and the criticism that will reveal your growth in your Christian life. Let me repeat that. The wicked one will attempt to work through people to stop your witness and testimony. But your victory will be your ability to stand against the persecution and the criticism, which will reveal your growth in your Christian life. Now that brings us to suggestion number 7. And this is where we left off. Suggestion number 7 means competition in the ministry. Competition in the ministry. Now I know this might sound kind of hard to believe, but there is competition in the ministry. You would think it was a sporting event vying for your attention rather than a sanctuary for salvation. See, ministers are deliberately trying to be different from other ministries in order to attract customers. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 10 to 13. And we're talking about now competition in the ministry. And it says this: Now, dear brothers and sisters, I appeal to you by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to stop arguing among yourselves. Let there be real harmony so that there won't be divisions in the church. I plead with you to be of one mind, unified in thoughts and purpose. For some members of Cleo's house have told me about your arguments, dear brothers and sisters. Some of you are saying, I am a follower of Paul. Others saying, I follow Apollos, or I follow Peter, or I follow only Christ. Can Christ be divided into pieces? See, one of the problems that the first century Corinthian church has was divisions. They had divisions among themselves. When the Apostle Paul wrote to Corinth, the church there, they were divided in at least 4 factions, each of them aligned with one of 4 prominent Christian leaders. Now, can you believe that? Now, one group identified itself with the Apostle Paul. The members of this faction may have been attracted by Paul's emphasis on his ministry to the Gentiles. A second group identified itself with Apollos, one of Paul's fellow missionaries. He may have been attracted a following because of his eloquent speaking abilities. He was able to speak with eloquence. Turn to the book of Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, and we're going to read verse number 24. And it says, Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. So we see he was a mighty man in the scriptures, and he spoke eloquently in regards to the word of God. Now a third group identified itself with Cephas, another name for the apostle Peter. This group may have been mostly of Jewish background. And a fourth group identified itself specifically with Christ. While on the surface, it might seem that this group was the godly contingent of the Corinthian church, this may not have been the case. Paul does not commend any of these groups, not even the I Am Christ faction, but suggested that all of their professed alliances were causing divisions and dissension in the church. It was competition back then, just like there is competition today. Paul uses three rhetorical questions, each expecting a negative response to how the absurdity of the Corinthians' divisions were. Well, you know what? I am just about out of time for today's teaching, but I'm certainly not out of message. But we will continue our teaching next week, and we hope that you will join us as we continue our teaching on God wants you to be successful. But until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It simply says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight."
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.